pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Are back, second half of the show. It's really been a good show. Day after the reveal, a lot of conversation about the portal, and we will continue. Mike is in Houston. Hello, Mike.
Paul, I'm hoping you can help me understand something as an esteemed veteran member of the media. Why has the sign-stealing scandal with Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan been swept under the rug?
Mike, it is inconvenient. We are fans of games, and the game is now 2.5 weeks away, so why bother focusing in on how they may or may not have gotten to this point?
Now, one thing that I have a hard time understanding is, even though all that is true, it seems like it just went away overnight. And the only thing I've heard is Eli Drinkwitz crack a joke about Connor Stallions being on the other line. I mean,
what we're really talking about here is I think it will come back up a little bit, but Harbaugh has been put in situations where he's had to answer questions, but he just really hasn't been asked that. And I don't think he'll answer it once we get to Pasadena, because there's nothing left immediately to resolve. What I mean by that is it was a big story because we didn't know whether he would coach again this year. We didn't know whether Michigan would be eligible. And the moment that the Big Ten took the easy way out and essentially said, we don't have any specific evidence linking Jim Harbaugh, a lot of people just said, oh, okay, let's move on. What else can we ask? And he's also doing something that will always make the bad news go away, and that's win.
While that is true, I think everything that he's accomplished should have an asterisk by it. Jim Harbaugh's a fraud, and he's tarnished the mediocre legacy of the University of Michigan.
Well, a lot of people agree with you on that, but as you said a couple of minutes ago, as a veteran of the media, I don't expect it to come back. I certainly don't think you'll be hearing about it during the broadcast of the Rose Bowl. I think we'll spend more time on the sun setting on the San Gabriel Mountains. We'll talk more about the color analyst's dog, and we'll celebrate the two of the greatest programs in college football history playing in that game. Thank you. I don't mean to be a cynic. But, I mean, I've had Michigan fans hit me up and say, when are you going to admit you're wrong? We've been vindicated. There's a lot of that going on in the media, up and down the news dial, and it's now moved over to sports. Glenn is in Denver. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
Just want to chime a little bit in on the silly FSU thing. You know, if DeSantis is really wanting the college football playoffs to reconsider their opinion, should we look at it from his political perspective that isn't it true that conservatives want less government intrusion into our lives?
I've always thought, but you know, sometimes we see a reversal of that in today's modern politics.
I think it's also important to note that he went to a private law school, which he was also part of a private fraternity. He went to a private undergrad school at Yale as well.
Yeah.
And clearly, I think the world is forgetting for all the people that if you want to go after a private institution, you have to remember the members agree to be a part of that private institution. FSU, if they want to get out of the NCAA, let them get out of it. They can leave. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, for the record, DeSantis went to Yale undergraduate and Harvard Law School. I don't remember hearing the governor talk about the episode last week in front of Congress, have you?
Well, if he wants to tell the NCAA, which I know it's a nonprofit, but it's still at some level, it's a private institution. He's telling a private institution what to do, but he went to private institutions for his education.
Well, and I see a little in defense of Governor DeSantis, given the choice of going to Harvard Law School or Florida State Law School, I think he made a wise choice.
Well, of course. I mean, I agree with it, but you can't say he went to Harvard. Whoever, I don't know if it's good or bad.
Well, no, Harvard Law School, I mean, there are some law firms in New York that will not hire anyone other than, and I know that sounds like a Suits episode, but it's true. They didn't make that up. Even though there's a lot of things wrong with Harvard, I've been to the Harvard Law School, and it is considered sacrosanct. It is.
But let me ask you, you're not trying to tell Harvard Law School what to do because it's a private school.
No, absolutely not.
So if Florida State doesn't like the NCAA, and by the way, I'm not a fan of the NCAA. I believe they have to kind of redo their structure. But if Florida State doesn't like it, and this is the system that they agree to, and like you said, they're the ones who blocked the 12 playoffs last year, then they can leave. And by the way, if they think it's so easy to go after a so-called private nonprofit organization, how come it's so difficult for them to leave the ACC?
Well, that's fair.
There's still rules that they've agreed to abide by.
Yeah.
Does that all make sense?
When you collect the check, which they do, there's a contract that you have agreed to. It's a charter in the ACC, and that charter makes you a member, and you get the privileges of membership, and you also have restrictions as a member. It's like any other private organization or public organization. Thank you very, very much. Billy in Philly.
Hi, Paul. I wanted to talk about the Billy Walters book that you talked about a couple of days ago. You interviewed him. My first question is, who gave you the idea to call him up and to put him on your program?
The truth of it is my literary agent represented Billy in that book, and he sent me a note about a year ago saying this book's going to be huge. Would you have him on? And I said yes.
He's right. It is a fabulous book. I got it, and it's a strange book. It's published by Manuel Luis. It doesn't have a fancy publisher, behind it. What does it say? It's made in Middletown, Delaware. It has a number of punctuation and spacing errors in the type. It's very amateurishly done, but it is an absolutely brilliant book. This is a great, first of all, everybody who calls your show in the last hour, the I-Man squirrels, that crowd, they would love this book. I'm going to just recite a few sentences from the first paragraph, from the first page. My grandmother's house, this is where he lived when he was like 8 or 9 years old, which has since been demolished, was a one-bedroom rental for $10 a month with no running water or a bathroom and an outhouse and a cistern out back. We shared the only bedroom night after night. This is good. The stuff he talks about with fancy gambling is amazing. This is a blockbuster. Your agent is right.
It came out of the chute. Now, again, there are certain elements to a successful nonfiction book, and he mastered the most important. Well, there's two or three. It used to be Oprah, but Oprah's not doing her show anymore. But the biggest thing you can get, the biggest platform you can get on to do a book is 60 Minutes, and he was on 60 Minutes, and he made all the rounds. There weren't many shows. There's a handful. I've studied this, as you know, being in that industry a little bit, and going on ESPN won't really sell your book. You have to go on places where there's a specific audience. NPR is considered probably the best daily place to sell a book because the people that listen to that are book buyers. A lot of people are not book buyers, as you well know.
Yeah. Well,
Feinbaum's show
is
not a bad play. We have gained a cottage reputation of because we do, unlike most shows who do a 4 or 5 minute high octane. Hey, what's the book about? I mean, when we have an author on, we usually know what the book's about.
Okay. Well, it is terrific. It is very, very good, and I'm glad you picked it up. And
thank
I think
you.
Your audience
appreciate
would
it
be
very,
very fond of it.
And the Billy Walters book was also helped by the fact there were multiple leaks to various publications about Phil Mickelson. That's what sold the book. It was the Mickelson connection. That's how this book rocketed to the top of the bestseller list. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
As we get ready for National Signing Day next Wednesday, the coach has dropped by, our good friend Carl Reed. Coach, good to see you, and can't wait to dig in. So we're trying to figure out what's happening right now. You got the portal open. You have the signing day coming up. You got chaos everywhere. Give us your insight and intel into how insane this time of the year is.
Well, it's insane because you got several things going on right now, Paul. You got the transfer portal opening. You have teams getting ready for bowl games, and you have high school recruiting as we're also closing in on National Signing Day. For example, you saw Malik Murphy from the University of Texas go into the portal, and he's not going to be able now to participate with the University of Texas in the college football playoffs. So the timing of it all is also a hindrance to certain programs as you're also trying to make sure that you're fielding a competitive team for the bowl game.
So, Carl, in a situation like him, like Malik, I know that do they have any grace if they're in the playoffs?
Because it is unfair a little bit because of the timing of it. He obviously was a big part of that Texas team this year. He came in as a starter when Quinn Ewers was down and kept their streak intact. And it's really an unfortunate situation that he's being forced right now to choose going to a new school versus finishing the season with his football team. But that's just the way that the calendar has mapped out. If he wants to get his visits in and get an opportunity to meet with the coaches of the program right. He would be going to next, he has to do it during this time period.
Let's talk about the danger of the portal. I mentioned a couple hours ago, I had a conversation with a young man today who, and you know this story 1,000 times, he goes into the portal and finds no place to go. How often do you hear that story?
Well, I hear it a lot. And what happens and what guys need to understand as media outlets, whether it's you guys or whether it's us at 24/7 Sports, we're covering the creme de la creme, the top players in the game, the guys that it looks glamorous when they switch rosters, they get these big NIL deals. But the vast majority of these guys are hurting themselves by moving along. They're hurting themselves by giving away their education, by giving away their scholarship and their roster spot. And they're going in here with misinformation. They're going in here with no information. And they're going in there in a situation where they're harming their future. And they don't have, a lot of them don't have anybody that they can talk to or anybody that can guide them through whether or not that decision even makes sense.
How awkward, or maybe they're not awkward, are these conversations with the coaches after the season finally ends? Because, you know, the coaches want to meet with everyone. Some guys they don't want. Some guys they'll do anything to keep. What happens in those meetings?
Well, it depends on whether the coach wants you to stay or not. I was talking to a young man and a coach the other night where the coach really doesn't want the guy to stay on the team. He wants his scholarship. He wants the guy to move along because he's not going to play. But at the same time, he promised his family that he was going to get him a degree from this prestigious institution, but he really doesn't want the guy in his program. So his hope through his conversation with the player is that the player sees the writing on the wall for himself and he just vacates the premises so the coach doesn't have to deal with it. And so I think those conversations do become uncomfortable because when that player can go and get information from other people, then it puts him and the coach in a real tricky situation. But a lot of those guys are getting pushed out of programs, whether they're getting pushed out directly or indirectly. The language that the coaches are using to manipulate some of the kids and the players in this situation can become extreme.
And certainly, Coach, we've talked a lot with you over the years about your friend Deion Sanders. You know, he had to do that, but I mean, there's a lot of negativity coming out of that program. I don't know how legitimate it is. You know Deion, you talk to him. What's going on out there?
Well, in his situation, he's such a lightning rod because everybody wants to talk about him and the lights are on him. It's like he says all the time, the fan only blows when you're hot. And so being in a situation where he left the HBCU program in Jackson State that a lot of people were hoping that he stayed and kind of rejuvenated that entire landscape. So you got a lot of negativity for that. Then he did something unprecedented. He flipped the roster from a transfer portal standpoint. Then they started off really hot, but they failed down the stretch, mainly because they couldn't protect the quarterback with the offensive line. So what did he do last week? He got a bunch of offensive line commitments, guys that have started from other programs, and the number one offensive lineman in the high school ranks in Jordan Seaton.
So speaking of high school, we spend so much time on the portal, but what is your sense and how important is this National Signing Day? Because it just seems a little less important than it's been in the past because of the portal opening.
Oh, it's still very important. It's still what you have to build your program around. You have to start with high school players. Now, the top 100 to probably 200 players in the country, the transfer portal hasn't affected those guys. They're still going to big-time universities. They're still going to the big-time programs. It's the guys who used to sneak in after that. You can sneak into a Group of Five program, maybe even a lower-tier Power Five program. Those spots now are almost exclusively going to guys in the transfer portal. So what is happening is if you're a player coming out of high school, you're probably going to go to the school that your film says that you should be at in the first place. So I don't think that it's hurt high school kids as much as it's been stated. It has probably put you where you belonged in the beginning.
Coach, so many players are making decisions right now on what to do about these bowl games. I'm not talking about the CFP, but the games that start this weekend, those decisions have been made. But other decisions, we talked to Jaden the other day, and it doesn't sound like he wants to play anymore. What do you advise when these players and coaches call you trying to get some counsel from your long years of expertise?
Well, where are you drafted at in the NFL? What is the NFL saying about you? If you're a guy that's going to get money, you're a day one, a day two draft pick, and that's pretty much been solidified. In all honesty, it's time for you to move on and get ready for the next level. There's a huge injury risk that you never recover from. There's a huge, there's a lot of money on the table for your career. And that might seem to certain fan bases and certain people to be something that is not for the team or something that people don't want to hear. But these guys do have a financial future that they have to look out for. Now, if you're a day three guy, if you're a guy on the fringe of being an undrafted free agent and a bowl game could help your stock some, then you should consider playing in the bowl game. But these guys, when they get to this point, they have to make the decision that's best for their career.
Coach, I was talking to somebody in Ohio, in Columbus today, and about Marvin Harrison Jr., and you've heard some of these rumors. I mean, there's just massive amounts of money being tossed around. I didn't say thrown around to the player. We've been through the Caleb Williams situation. How real are some of these numbers with the elite players to try to keep them in school?
I think that the 20 million number is preposterous, and I don't think that that's real. And I think that a lot of these guys, when they approach these universities, when they're talking to these college coaches or they're trying to negotiate with collectives, they have a very, very skewed view of what the numbers really are because what's being reported a lot. I don't see any scenario where a guy that's going to get a $20 to $25 million signing bonus in the National Football League comes back to college with the hopes of that a collective or that a group of businessmen is going to pay him that much money to stay in college. You are hearing reports and side conversations of guys not getting paid what they were agreed to be paid at several schools in the SEC, at several schools in the Big Ten. There are guys that are complaining about not being paid. I think that when these collectives started, they didn't have any idea how much money it was going to take to keep up with this demand year after year. These collectives are not professional sports franchises. They don't have unlimited amounts of money to give to players. And once a player can secure himself as a first-round pick, the collective money cannot compare to that.
Coach, generally speaking, I know you're in the middle of all this with confidentiality, but what is the top dollar that you hear that players are being offered and accepting to stay in college?
Well, it's under $1 million for the most part. Okay. And most of the time it's going to be under $500,000. And with the exception of maybe a couple of special quarterbacks who can change the game. And I think some of these guys go into the portal with an expectation that the money is going to get ridiculous, and it's not. I still believe, and it's been shown, that the guys who are doing the best at NIL are guys who sign with very good agents that can secure their marketing deals, guys that go to college fan bases where they can work with the local businesses in those markets to secure deals so that they can endorse products, which is what NIL was intended to do. Also, something that a lot of these young men are missing in a huge social media era is the ability to monetize their social media based on the amount of followers they got and endorsed products, is the ability to monetize their YouTube and their Twitch channels. Also things that you could not do before the NIL rule was passed.
Amazing. I mean, I know you shake your head, you're in the middle of it, but the fact that we're talking about this, even though we knew we would get to this point, is still pretty staggering. Coach, always great to see you. Come back soon.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
The one and only Coach Carl Reed telling us how the sausage is really made. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
back. Let's check in with Larry. Last time we talked to Larry, he was headed to the pulmonary doctor. So, Larry, I'm hoping everything went okay.
What's up?
Larry!
What's up? Help! Help! Now what I'm going to do. Let me ask you questions, Bomb.
Ask me.
Now, everybody wanted all this yaddy 12 games. Now they got it. And who is going to get anybody to come and watch some of these games? What, are you going to have to bust them in?
Which games are we talking about here?
What?
What games are we talking about?
The games that just was showing me on the schedule for the next year. Who wants to watch some of them? And you're taking out
you're
all.
You're talking about like Alabama and Mercer?
Yeah, bad, goofy games, man.
Larry, you realize those are important games for Alabama to have a perfect record. You get all that, don't you? So, I mean, three power fives.
Hey, Georgia will take anything high school team play them just to keep record good.
Are you suggesting that game against Vanderbilt in Nashville on October 5th not a big game?
No, it's a joke.
You got Western Kentucky on August 31st. You got South Florida, a rematch of that revenge game when Alabama's season almost came apart.
Revenge.
Well, South Florida did cover. I mean, that's the revenge. Well, a lot of people lost money on that game.
You're killing me. Hey, man, this is going to be a mess.
Larry, you do know you're going to Baton Rouge next year where Alabama and Knoxville. You remember what happened 2 years ago, don't you?
Yeah, no, I don't. You keep bringing it up. I try to forget it, but not when you're around.
I guess I just need to kill you and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Some aging sportscaster popping out of a coffin, picking Tennessee to beat Alabama?
Oh, yeah. You know what, Paul? I don't know how you do that crazy stuff, boy. You're going to get yourself hurt. You could
right.
What if that thing would have locked?
Well,
and you
I've told
won
this
and
before,
won
but we had a manager
here.
I would describe middle-level manager who is no longer with us, but he came to me right before, and he was thinking I was going to die in there.
Yeah,
and,
you could have, Paul.
He said, are you sure you want to do
I mean,
this?
You know what, man? You I want it been a lot, and you'd have one of them tacos.
Seriously, Larry, let me run this by you, okay? What if Tebow had opened that coffin? I was dead.
Seriously,
how many people do you think would have said, get him out of the way, we got to finish the show?
Yeah, I've been a few of them.
I mean, like,
off stage. I'll take him on to the
He was
going to
pick Tennessee anyway, so what difference does it make?
Yeah, his old lady, she'll probably not listen to somebody.
Get this out of the way.
Yeah,
Larry, if that had happened, would you have spoken at my funeral?
I've already offered to
give the eulogy at yours. I just want a return favor in case I go first.
I would, and I'd get drunk, and I'd go, Paul, you know.
Larry, I've already started working on your eulogy.
Oh boy, I'll bet.
First line is, Larry?
Bud
What's
Light.
Up? And then I'm going to pop that beer down the entire beer and say, let's talk about my good friend, Larry. And everybody, I'm going to have a guy all of a sudden up and down the aisles at the church. Everybody's getting a tall boy.
Yeah, maybe not to that, Jack. That's what I know. I'm going to get a recording. Now, this is Larry.
I mean, Larry, you want to be celebrated, don't you?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you don't want to
cry
when you die.
I'm all choked up. I can't get – Larry was a good man. And
No, you wouldn't be saying that.
I might drink some before I'm up there.
Yeah, the most I can say.
You guys mind if I got a little dip while I'm here? I prefer to have tortilla chips with my beer.
Yeah, I mean, good.
Larry, who else do you want? We can't have too many speakers. But who else would you like?
I want AJ to have to carry my coffin because of the way he talked about me.
I've been a pallbearer before a couple of times, and I nearly dropped one a couple of years ago.
He probably would.
And by the way, it was a prominent funeral. It wasn't just some Larry from Shelby funeral.
Yeah.
They picked some weasels to carry that coffin.
I'm going to take him. Let me get him off the list. Hold on. I got him off. Okay. We think somebody else. Randy. Randy's good.
Randy, good call, you're guy. Who else you want carrying the coffin?
Randy and Dan. Dan the man got to be there.
Dan?
He's a little short, but he's all right.
Sorry.
Yeah, he could put it on his shoulder, you know. It'd be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let me think. I don't know anybody else.
Larry, I'm going to run a couple of names by you.
All right.
I'm in.
Yeah, I guess. In the front. God dang. Yeah, Paul.
Okay, Handsome Joe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the two-haired guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Handsome Joe with them two hairs. Okay. Oh, yeah.
What about Squirrel?
Sure, yeah, Squirrel, he had the fish mail on his hand where he's been catching all them fish, taking fish.
Larry, what about Augie?
I don't know. I don't trust Augie. He'd be trying to get some settlement something somewhere.
Right, yeah, you don't need Augie.
No lawyers.
Okay, anybody else? Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Jim would, listen, he would make it so long and miserable for everybody, it would be some vengeance for me.
You're right.
A lot of people. Because he would be talking until they got to the truck, and they told each other, then he's still talking, and they put him in the ground, he's still talking.
Since it's the first time we would have ever seen Jim, Jim would be holding court.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we finished you off.
Thank somebody else. Let me know now.
Larry, I'm going to spend some time this weekend planning
some friends. Yeah.
And we will televise it live.
Yes, absolutely. And you tell ESPN they better not leave nothing out about Bama Robotech.
Okay.
Got it.
By the way, so last night I was on the Reveal show. And I was talking about how well Georgia has handled the situation by not getting in. I mean, I was praising them. I said, nowhere have you seen the governor of Georgia speak out, even though Governor Kemp is a Georgia fan. We've had him on our program. Nowhere have you seen the attorney general. You haven't seen any two-bit politician. I was wrong. Breaking news from the state of Georgia. Georgia State Senator Colton Moore has written an open letter demanding the CFP adopt the Orange Bowl between Florida State and Georgia as an additional CFP game. Your mandate is to send the four best teams in the country to the playoff, and instead you have created a political mess. I'm not going to read it. First of all, the Attorney General does have subpoena power. Some state senator does not. So he is a state senator from District 53. He's a member of the Georgia Freedom Caucus. He has also tried to impeach the district attorney in Fulton County? So... I don't know where he will go with this. My guess is, the only reason I know about this is that he tagged me in the tweet. Yeah, and a few other people, including my dog. But we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back. Murderer's Row here. Stacy is up next.
What up, fine ball?
Hey there.
Man, Larry left me out of the funeral, man. What's up with that, Larry?
Yeah, how about that? I'm probably going to regret doing what I just did with Larry. I hope, for all of our sake, especially me, that he lives a long time.
Paul, check this out, Paul. Is it me or... do you feel the same way? I was looking at the reveal show last night of the schedule, and let me say this. I don't think it's going to be a bad game in the SEC.
No.
I really don't. But tell me this, Paul. Is it me, or do you feel the same way? Booger McFarland still seems like he upset. And Greg McElroy, it just seems like he don't sway Alabama way. What you think about that?
Well, I mean, these are my colleagues, and I never like to be critical of my ESPN brethren. That is verboten at the network, and you know, we don't criticize each other, do we?
Well, I mean, I see now when it comes down to Greg McElroy.
Yeah.
When it comes down to Greg, it's like Greg, you played for Alabama. Every time somebody asks him about Alabama, he ain't got nothing good to say.
Well. I'm not that aware of his. I mean, I do his show every week, but that's all I really get to hear.
Y'all need to get y'all phones lined up
in the morning.
You need to get your phone fixed, man. Y'all paid y'all bill yet?
Stacey, are you telling us to get our phones fixed?
Can you hear me, Paul?
I've heard every word you've said.
Man, I don't know what's wrong with y'all phone, man. Randy, what's wrong with the lines, man? Like, you're breaking up.
Well, yeah, it's probably more likely on your end. We have what do you think this phone cost here, Randy?
A lot.
This is an expensive phone that we're using. I mean, this is a signal. You call, where does it go up to, Connecticut? Up to a satellite and back. Johnny B. is next.
I was on that cracky line yesterday.
Yeah, well.
And then you put curry on it, and it sounded like he was ordering at McDonald's.
I am still trying to figure out what Bill Curry told us yesterday. I mean, I enjoyed the interview, but I really don't remember what he said because I couldn't hear a word he said.
The good news is I've become a little worried about this FSU thing with the attorney general and the governor.
Yeah.
And then that cracky phone line made me think they were, you know, watching us close. So today I went down and retained Tommy Spina for us.
Tommy Spina. Tommy's a great attorney.
You,
yeah, I mean, you got the right man.
You've
gotten Tommy Spina. I've retained Tommy Galleon.
I don't know. But I got one more thing to say. Larry, when he was talking about you in that coffin, you know how now when games are on and then people's filming the reactions and it's getting them a lot of likes and stuff, can you imagine if they'd have opened that thing and you'd have been dead and they'd have had a camera on Coach Dooley's mom, Harbaugh, and Ryan Day?
Yeah, that would...
Some of your favorite people
in the
past.
Well, I would be most concerned... First of all, Laura would have... I don't think Laura could have handled it, do you? She's done so much to keep me alive. I think Tebow would have been the right guy, though, to say a prayer.
You'd had Tebow there, but I remember when Coach Dooley's mom called in and blew you out. Man, right. that was some good TV.
Barbara,
right there.
Barbara and I, we had her. I love Barbara, but she did not like when I criticized her dear little boy. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Tully is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Tully.
How are you, Paul?
We're doing great. Thanks so much.
Hey, yeah, I was just calling in to kind of hear your opinion on the up-and-coming Ole Miss Rebels. What the factors of this elite offense coming back and of course, Lane Kiffin's capitalization at the portal, along with the schedule change, and then the up-and-coming massacre of Penn State. You know, personally, I believe Lane Kiffin's about to become the abusive stepfather of the SEC, much like he is to Tennessee right now. And I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts.
I don't know anybody who really had a better bounce back, maybe Drinkwitz, but Kiffin, after losing the month of November, came back. This was a really great year. Unfortunately, outside of his zip code, it gets a little bit overshadowed, but I really hope they can, and I think they will put a beat down on their bowl team.
Absolutely. And also, one more thing. What is going on with Herb Street and Kirby? I mean, there's got to be something going on in Key West with some cocktails and serious eye contact, because the commentary over the Ole Miss Georgia game was absurd. It was absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm kind of in the dark on that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.